Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read tonight about bodybuilding. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Almighty Father, be with us, we pray. Meet us in our worship. Show us how you are building your church and how we are not just an essential part of that, but that we are the ones doing it right along with you. Help us, Father. Help me demonstrate your Holy Spirit through my preaching tonight. Help us to forget about the heat, to forget distraction, and to focus on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body is being built even now to the measure of his fullness. We pray these things, Holy Father, in the glorious name of your Son. And we as your people together say, Amen. Well, I got an email from a friend back in New England a few weeks ago, and this friend said, I really have a question. Is it enough to go to church, get fed, go home, do the whole thing over again next Sunday? Isn't there more to the Christian life? And I wrote back and said, well, as it so happens, I've just been reading, studying in Ephesians 4 to get ready to preach it. And that passage addresses your question. Yes, there is something more. You are called to minister to your fellow believers in the church. Going to church is not enough, and the reason you feel like it's not enough is because you've been shaped by the Word of God, which moves directly from Christ as cosmic conqueror who descended to the lower parts of the earth, went into the underworld, went up above all heavens, conquered everything in between, fills all things, occupies all things by his power. That Christ gave this fivefold ministry of verse 11 in order to equip you to build up the body. Verse 12. You ought to be ministering to your fellow saints, I told him. So he wrote back and said that sounded good and he would like more information. So this sermon is an attempt to be more information. What does it look like to bodybuild in the church? Paul talks over and over about building up the body of Christ in this passage and in other passages. And the way he says we're going to bodybuild this church and every church is when every member ministers. He mentions that at the beginning of our section in verse 7, every one of us has grace. He mentions it again in the middle of the section, verse 12, the saints do the work of ministry. Then he mentions it again at the end, the whole body causes growth of the body. In other words, the church is not going to be built by some charismatic leaders who do all the work while the sheeple do nothing more than listen and cut them checks every once in a while. The message of our text tonight is that the church body builds when every member ministers. That's the basic point here. The church body builds when every member ministers. And Paul tells us how that happens, what his method is for bodybuilding. He tells us the result of bodybuilding. He tells us the goal of bodybuilding. And then he circles back around to the method once again. Okay, Paul, this is a glorious reality. How do we do it? How do we build this church? So he starts with his method, or the Christ's method, really. The method is that the fivefold ministry equips. Christ conquered the universe in order to give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the message of verses 8 through 11. Christ descended, Christ ascended, Christ fills all things from top to bottom. Everything that exists, Christ fills it. And from this position of power, he sends into the church the fivefold ministry. People whom he took from Satan, verse 8, whom he rehabilitated into apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, with, of course, the Apostle Paul being the foremost example of the bunch. Somebody who had been Satan's servant, now is Christ's servant. So this fivefold ministry equips. What is the job of the fivefold ministry? They're to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Why do you have this letter of Ephesians on your lap? Well, Paul, as an apostle, is equipping you through this writing to minister in the church. Why do you have a pastor to talk to you, to preach to you? Because Christ is equipping you to minister in the church. Now, we don't use this word equip very often these days. We still use the word equipment. But ministry is not about providing the saints with bulldozers, as cool as that would be. No, ministry is about providing the saints with the tools they need to be saints. If you're going to equip a hiker, You know, a hiker needs hiking boots and a tent and a backpack and some of these other things. And a miner might need a giant bulldozer. And other kinds of tasks call for other kinds of equipment. Those who are going back to school this fall might be buying pencils. Now, do you need pencils and bulldozers and hiking boots to be a saint? No. What do you need to be a saint? Well, the premier thing you need to be a saint is the Holy Spirit. But can the church pass out the Holy Spirit? No. Church is not a factory that dispenses Christ and the Holy Spirit. The church can give other things, though. Primarily, church can give coaching and modeling from other human beings. How did you learn how to do the things you do every day? Chances are you watch somebody else do it. You learned by being coached, by watching it modeled. And that is a huge part of ministry in the church. Simply showing people how it's done. I read a book on family worship recently by Don Whitney at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Whitney said he asks his students every fall, how many of you have been present, I'm not asking how many of you have led, how many of you have been present in a family when family worship was done? And inevitably, he said, only a small fraction of the students raised their hands. Like they've never seen family worship. How would they know how to lead their family in worshiping God? They haven't been equipped to do that. So part of what the fivefold ministry does is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And the two biggest tools that you can gain from other human beings that relate to sainthood are knowledge and community. And Paul touches on both of those as we go down the passage. So he talks about how knowledge will deliver us from every wind of doctrine. He talks about how community is the way that the church grows. So we're equipped by the fivefold ministry so that every member can minister. The fivefold ministry spearheads that task of gathering and perfecting the elect. But the fivefold ministry does not do all the ministry. Every member, rather, ministers. So what is the work of ministry? Well, in the Jehovah's Witnesses, they use the word ministry to mean door-to-door evangelism. In most branches of the church, the word ministry means being in a formal pastoral relationship to a church. When did you enter the ministry? Someone might say. But is that how Paul uses the word here? Does he use it in either of those limited senses? Equipping the saints to make them all pastors of churches? Or equipping the saints for door-to-door evangelism? No, those aren't the meanings here. Ministry is anything you do to help someone see or appreciate Jesus Christ more. So ministry can range from the gigantic, like the Apostle Paul, right? Planting entire new denominations in destitute regions where Christ is not named. That's ministry. But it can also range down to the tiniest of the tiny. Giving a child a cup of cold water. Picking up a used bulletin in your row after church. Both of these things are ministry. One may be more impressive to us, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily more impressive to God. Every member ministers by helping other people see and savor the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That's what you're being equipped to do. That's what the work of ministry is, and it takes many, many, many forms. It takes as many forms as there are people and moments. how do I minister to this person in this moment? Well, it's going to be different probably than how I minister to this person in that moment, or to that person in some other moment. But all of us are called to ministry. It's the saints in general who are equipped for the work of ministry. Ministry is everyone's job. That's the point of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone you see is your neighbor. Don't say, not my responsibility. I'm not going to help with that. Well, Christ and Paul clearly say something different. So, what happens when the fivefold ministry equips and every member ministers? Well, what happens is that the body of Christ is edified. That is, the body of Christ is turned into a more complete edifice. The body of Christ is built up, which is an image Paul has already used in chapter 3, in chapter 2, the church as temple. The whole thing rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, chapter 2, verse 21. We get to be temple builders. Now, if you recall from our Kings series, remember we said over and over then that temple building is an activity of the Messiah. Zechariah 6, behold the man whose name is the branch. He will build the temple of the Lord. We are privileged to be co-workers with Christ in his messianic calling of building the temple of God through our ministry. So this is not optional in the Christian life. This is one of the ways in which God conforms us to the image of his Son. So the body will be edified when everybody ministers. That's the first result of bodybuilding in the church. So, if you can speak the truth in love, do it. If you can hand over a hymnal to a visitor who doesn't know where the hymnals are, do it. If you can pick up a bulletin, do it. If you're disabled and you can't speak, you can't move yourself, you can receive the love of the body. You can show people how to love Christ in his humiliation. Do it. All of us have a place, a role, a calling in the body of Christ. And the whole body is built up. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. Just like, of course, in the human body. So what's the goal of this? When the church is built up, what will happen? Well, verse 13 lists four things that will happen. 13 and 14 lists four things that will happen when the church is built up. The first one is unity of the faith. Now, this chapter focuses on unity. Remember, Ephesians 4 is the only place in the New Testament where the word unity appears. Unity of the faith is a goal on the horizon. Unity of the faith is what takes place when every member ministers. I'm sure that all of us have spoken with Christians who disagree with us. On some point or other, sometimes on more points, sometimes on fewer points. But there are disagreements. We don't yet have unity of the faith. We have unity of the Spirit. But as we minister to one another, we move towards this unity of the faith. We move towards the knowledge of the Son of God. Just like, as we saw in chapter 3, it takes all of us, you have to know with all the saints the love of Christ, so it is with every other aspect of Christ. Knowing Christ is a corporate endeavor. It takes all of us to achieve the knowledge of the Son of God. So, to be a little more specific, in the church, we see the Son of God better when we see a disabled child receiving love from everyone in the church. We see the loving heart of Christ there. We see the Son of God in his, we know his mind better. We listen to the brilliant theologian refuting error. We know Christ's will better when we see a dear sister willingly submit to a bitter providence in her life. We know Christ's friendship better when we together as a congregation help a middle-aged couple through some tragic event, the death of their only son. These things are all ways in which we see together facets of the character of Christ that we would not otherwise have noticed. We are achieving the knowledge of the Son of God as we build the body together. We will achieve full growth, a perfect man or perfect manhood, Paul says. The church will grow up to the height it's supposed to be. Now, of course, there's none of those things on the gate of heaven that say you must be this tall to enter. But that is nonetheless the image that Paul's using here. When we minister to one another, the church grows up to that height that it's supposed to attain. And what height is that? Well, it's the height of the fullness of Christ. How full, how tall, how perfect is Jesus? That's how tall, how perfect we're going to be through every member ministry. And finally, we will achieve maturity. We won't anymore be like children who just accept every new thing you tell them. You tell Marilee there are monsters in the closet, and she believes it. And you tell her the monsters went outside, and she believes it. Paul says we're not going to be like that anymore. We won't be like boats in a storm, blown around by every wind of doctrine, captive to the system of error. When every member ministers, people understand the truth and believe it in a settled fashion. I'm afraid we all know folks who are carried around by every wind of doctrine. It's a sad, sad place to be. But every member ministry is the antidote. So Paul circles back around. He says, these are the four things that happen when every member ministers. And so if you need to know whether you should be ministering in the church, just look around and say, do we have unity of the faith? No? Then I need to minister. Do we have knowledge of the Son of God? No? Then I need to minister. Do we have full growth? No? Okay, then I need to minister. Do we have doctrinal settledness? No? Okay, I need to keep ministering. If these things are missing in the church, if we don't have them in their fullness, then every member ministry needs to continue. Every member ministry can stop, theoretically, when we reach these goals that it's bringing about. Paul circles around for a final pass to say, well, how do we do this? How do we minister? What does that look like, Paul? And he gives us two things to do. Just two things. He doesn't say take a spiritual gifts assessment. He doesn't say, fine, I give yourself a designation and do that. I pick up banana peels. If there's a banana peel at church, I'm on it. But if anything else happens, oh, too bad. That's not my role in the church. Now, of course, we don't put it that way. Most of us kind of prefer the more prestigious things. I preach. But heaven help you if you need anything else. Now, in my pastoral training, we had a few conversations like that. I was sitting in the senior pastor's office. Someone came in and said, I want to preach on college campuses. And the pastor said, that's great. Do you read the Bible to your family? And the guy said, no. And the pastor said, well, you might want to start there, right? And the guy said, why? I want to preach on college campuses. That's what I'm called to do. And my pastor was like, let's talk about that once you're teaching your family. And it simply didn't seem to register. Right? We like to grab this identity for ourselves. Here's what I do in the church. And that can be a really good thing, to do that thing. But don't limit yourself to that. Don't think, well, I bring snack, therefore I don't need to do anything else. Not what ministry means. Well, Paul gives us two things to do, two basic bedrock things that inform any and every ministry calling in the church. And the first one is justly famous, speaking the truth in love. How do we minister to one another? Number one thing is to open our mouths and talk about the truth. He doesn't say showing the truth in love, living out the truth in love, right? That famous spurious quote of Saint Francis. Preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. Paul says it's necessary, speaking the truth in love. There is an element of verbal communication here. That's the foundation of all ministry. If you're going to build up the body of Christ, then you need to know the truth, and you need to open your mouth and say it. All the truth in the world won't do any good to the saint in the pew next to you if you never bring yourself to open that mouth and tell it in a way that the person can hear. Speak the truth in love. Now again, love has to be the sphere in which the body grows. Verse 15 says it, verse 16 says it. If you're simply saying, well, I read in a book that people like you need to do X, Y, Z, boom, case closed, and you march away feeling like you've spoken the truth and that person has been ministered to and great growth is going to happen, think again. That wasn't speaking the truth in love. That was speaking the truth in pride. That doesn't work. No, speaking the truth in love means speaking the truth because you care about your fellow saints, because you delight in Jesus Christ. So after Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 lists all these gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the ability to speak in tongues, he says there's an even better way, and it's called love each other. How do you love each other? You have to open your mouth and talk to each other. So we've talked about this before. You set up your life in such a way that you'll have the opportunity to talk to your fellow saints. And if you skedaddle, as soon as you see a fellow saint, you aren't going to be able to speak the truth in love. The thing that most people in church know about you is what the taillights of your car look like. There's not a lot of speaking the truth in love happening there. So speaking the truth in love is the number one non-negotiable for every member ministry. Yes, read good books. Yes, read the Bible. Yes, understand the truth so that you can speak it in love. And when you do that, you'll grow up in all things into Christ. And then, what about Christ? Now that Paul's brought him up again, it's from Christ that the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, says the King James and New King James. The NIV has by every ligament. This word joint, ligament, gives translators fits because it's an obscure medical term without a good equivalent in English. The only other place it's been found in ancient Greek is in the writings of Hippocrates. But the basic meaning of the word is connection. Anything that holds the body together. Hence, joint in the King James, ligament in the NIV. Both of those are getting at one kind of thing that holds the body together. But the word means any kind of thing that holds the body together. It is basically a connection. Every connection in the body is another place of growth. The energy from Christ comes to the church, into the whole body, but it doesn't move through the body until the connection is made, until the switch is opened, so to speak. Right? That's what a switch is, where you connect two wires together so that the electricity can flow into the next one. We have this same pattern in our brains. How do you learn something physically? Two of your brain cells, two neurons, form a connection. And the more your brain learns, the more connections it forms. Well, this is true in the church. The two ways we grow together to be like Christ are, number one, speaking the truth in love, and number two, connecting with the body. Now, how do you connect with the body? Well, there's all kinds of ways. Right? Meet someone for coffee. Have someone over. Invite someone to participate in your hobby with you. Let's tinker with this car in the afternoon. Let's shoot this firearm together. Let's get together and discuss this book. Talk about quilting. Talk about child raising. Talk about whatever it is that we like to do. There are many, many ways to connect within the body. But the way the body grows is when you get connected to everyone else in the body. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I guess last week, the first non-negotiable in this is to learn everyone's names. You aren't connected to someone whose name you don't know. Learn names. Learn backgrounds, identities, passions, what people care about, and then build from there. Hospitality is generally a key part of this. Coming to church events is generally a key part of this. But the whole body, with energy from Christ surging through it, grows only when that energy is unleashed by the connections, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. The body doesn't grow when one cell goes off by itself and says, I'm tired of the body. I don't need the body for more than an hour every Sunday morning. No. The way the body grows is energy from Christ coming in through the fivefold ministry and coming in through the actions of every member. That's when the body is built. And every member ministers, no matter what your calling is, no matter what your ministry is, no matter which organ you think you might be, you minister by connecting to people and speaking the truth to them. A disconnected Christian, a Christian who doesn't speak the truth, is tearing down the body, is a drag on the body. Right? We all know this with a regular edifice. There's some part of the edifice that's supposed to be in place and instead is sitting out in the middle of the lawn. That edifice is not doing so well. If I come home and find a piece of my front porch in the middle of the lawn, I say, house isn't in great shape. Well, the same is true of the church. If you're supposed to be connected to the people around you and you're disconnected, then you're tearing the house down. And that, according to Proverbs, is the work of the fool. So Christ is building his church. He's building it through the fivefold ministry. He's building it up to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and doctrinal settledness. And he's doing it through us connecting with each other, speaking the truth to each other. It's an amazing amazing picture. Paul is simply circling back around to give us a whole different perspective on the temple of chapter 2. How does that temple work? By connection, by speaking the truth in love. Christ died, went to hell and back to give us the fivefold ministry so we could connect with each other and build each other up. And when we do, as we'll see next week, moral change happens. We stop living like Gentiles, start living like the children of God. So stay tuned for that next week. Just remember the final point. The body grows in love. That's the sphere where growth happens. If connecting with the body is a chore, oh, yes, I need to spend some time with church people this week. You'll burn out very, very quickly. You won't build the body. No, it's only when you actually love your fellow church members, such that connecting with them is not a burden but a joy, that this growth is going to happen. The body builds itself up in love. Every member ministry can only be sustained by knowing the Christ who descended and ascended because he loved us. But when you know him, you will love him and everyone who's united to him. Let's grow up to be like him, loving one another. It's not enough to come to church and go home. We're building this body cell by cell up to the height of Christ. The power for growth comes from him, but it comes through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this tremendous mystery of the power of Christ that through the Spirit is building us into a holy temple in the Lord. Father, we thank you that we are a dwelling place for you by your Spirit. We thank you for the power from Christ that surges through every connection in this body. We thank you for the Spirit of truth whom you have given us, who enables us and empowers us to speak the truth in love to one another. Father, build this church. Help us to build it through every member ministry. We beg these things of you in the name of your Son, the risen, ascended Christ who fills all things. And all God's people said, Amen.